From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Carmen and Yurko. WMVP Chicago. See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Thanks to Ravi Baishwal for joining us. He just hopped on for a few minutes. And thank you to Chris Bleck and Randy Merkin, our great producers. Nice to have the good kid back here in the studio. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks to all the callers.
Thank you to everybody who called in and contributed today. Absolutely. On a tough day when it wasn't sports. Crosstalk's brought to you by PropSwap. Our guys Luke and Ian are standing by us during the pandemic. We're standing by them. PropSwap.com, your home to buy and sell sports bets. Waddle and Sylvie are here. Waddle's back. Right? I think Waddle's back today, right?
I am back.
Yes. Hey. We're back from South Carolina.
I'm not allowed in the office for another 14 days because of quarantine rules, which I'm totally cool with, but I will join you guys in the studio, I believe, June 15th.
2 weeks, all right, from today. One big happy family again.
I was very fortunate to be able to get out. I took a flight to South Carolina, enjoyed myself, got away for a little bit.
Was the flight crowded?
The flight was. Both flights were crowded.
Okay.
Everyone was practicing good social distancing in the terminal.
Good.
Everyone was wearing a mask.
Boy, once you get on that plane, though, there ain't no social distancing.
You're right.
Everybody practicing safe sex.
Yeah, absolutely. Safe sex as well. Yep.
But everyone's required to wear a mask throughout the course of the flight.
Yeah.
And you don't touch anything. You touch as little as you can.
They still have a beverage card or no?
No.
That's all done?
No service.
So you bring your own stuff, right?
I did not bring anything other than a bottle of water, Johnny.
But you can bring in like a snack and you could take your mask off to eat the snack and that's it?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes. I did not do that, so I wouldn't know. But the airports, both in here in Chicago and in South Carolina, were very sparse with regard to people.
I can imagine, yeah.
I know that, it's up to the individual if you're willing to travel and take the risk, or if you're not, I respect everybody's decision to do so. I thought it was an opportunity with the risk is taken care of as much as possible to see my family, so I did it.
Right. Did you play a little golf?
I did not. I did not. No. Yeah. It was me.
You played beer
with this,
golf.
Yeah.
You played Coors Light golf.
With this bad skin of mine, you would think I wouldn't stay in the sun as long as I did, but I oiled up. I was 80. I had the SPF 80 on, and I sat in a chair.
It's like putting cream cheese on.
You might as well put a shirt on.
It's like cottage cheese I rubbed all over my
body. Oh, my God.
So, and then, you start to watch what's going on.
It's nuts, guys.
And you come back, and it's, I don't know what's...
What can we say? We've tried to say it. This is not what I think most of us here are very comfortable with. I'm certainly not. I'm sickened by what's happened, but I don't like doing these shows. I'm sorry. I just don't.
But I think
there's no avoiding it.
The uncomfortable nature is part of the process. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah.
So
it's crazy, and that it could happen for a third night. Who knows what to expect here tonight? It's very eerie down here. Yurk and I were telling some stories about what it's like down here. Sylvie was down here for a little while, obviously, when all this started before he started dealing with what he's got to deal with, and he stays home. So he what it was like, Sylvie, down here in the loop when this was all starting. It's even more eerie now. There are even less people. On like the day when we're supposed to be coming back, it's even less crowded, and it's terrible to see the places that we frequent quite often, whether it's the Starbucks or the Dunkin' Donuts. Yurk and I talked about that. We ducked our head in, and we talked to Ivory. He was cleaning up. They destroyed his store, really, and he was in there cleaning it up. The Walgreens, the Witt Hotel. I mean, it's the Marshall Fields.
It was like where our studio is when I was watching Saturday Night.
Yeah.
It seemed like that was the epicenter of the Saturday Night activities. Is everywhere around our studio.
Yes, and it's
all the areas that we know. And you were saying, I was visualizing your walk this morning, and you were saying the LaSalle Street Bridge, and I think the news crews did a really good job of showing you the bridges. That's the bridge I take in when I drive into the radio station, and it haunts you. Going back to what originally happened to start all this with George Floyd haunts you, haunts you. I mean, yeah. I am friends with a lot of police officers, and, you know, it just haunts you what started this, and it's got to stop, and we've got to find a way to make it stop.
I know. Not easy, and then this only makes it more complicated. It makes it worse because these are the lasting images, unfortunately.
You know, it's also, too, Carm, you know, everyone deals with different things, you know, in their own way, and, like, I just... From my own perspective, you know, the old adage that Sylvia and I talk about a lot, you know, God gave you two eyes, two ears, and one mouth for a reason. Because sometimes it's better to watch and listen than it is to talk. And, like, so I've spent the last couple of days watching and listening. And, you know, I didn't feel, personally, didn't feel it was necessary for some who I am and in my demographic to get on Twitter inside the social media echo chamber. You know, it just was my choice. You know, people may think I'm right. They think I'm wrong. They may not have an opinion at all. But I just thought, for me personally, the best thing to do was to listen. And, you know, I think we're going to continue to do some of that today on the show.
You will. Trust me. Based on the response we got about it today and Caps earlier this morning, people want to talk about it, you know. And there's no, unfortunately, on a day like today, sorry, folks, there's no sticking to sports. Doesn't exist. Not today.
It looks like I'm not taking South Shore home because...
it's closed?
Oh, no, they've got a protest down there. Okay. And the protesters and the police have... I guess they're communicating with each other.
Oh, boy. So try to keep it
and
civil.
And that's one of my routes in getting home, too, every once in a while. I'd take Yates all the way down. You know, take it past the Misericordia home down there. Mm-hmm. Jump on Yates, go to Jeffrey or whichever one, and shoot out the south side. But not today.
There were no one, you know, as we were getting down here, they were, I think, preparing for everything, certainly this morning. And but it was quiet, especially once you did get into the loop, like going through the River North and there's no parking on any streets. I mean, it's almost like if there's not a car on the street, guys. I mean, I'm telling you, to say it's surreal is an understatement. Obviously, the police have, you know, orders up. You cannot park on the streets. And normally, you see people violate those orders. I mean, there wasn't a car anywhere. We all sort of had to take very circuitous routes, obviously, to get in today because what's going on and all they want as little traffic as possible in and out of the loop. And things were so congested, I finally found a way to kind of get down Michigan Avenue and then heading south and then turned on to Ontario, because that's the only way to get to LaSalle, where that's the one bridge that you can cross the river. And I'm telling you, there was nothing, not a car stopped, not a car parked, nothing. I mean, it's crazy that this is happening. And on top of everything else that the last 3 months have been, we've gotten to this point now.
I think that's part of it, isn't it? I mean, it's, you know, the coronavirus, which has devastated communities, it's devastated businesses, it's devastated families, it's a pandemic. You couple that with the indefensible, the needless killing of George Floyd, and you put it together, Carm, and... I mean, you know, it's awful because, you know, it's such a conflicting, you know, series of emotions because, as Sylvie said, I mean, it can't be tolerated. It's got to change. We all have to do better. The peaceful protest is something. It's one of the greatest gifts our country provides our citizens.
That's right.
Peaceful protest. But then when you see people destroying others' property and you see people assaulting other individuals, it clouds the cause and the message to a point where it just leaves you again.
And maybe that's done very
confused.
And maybe that's done on purpose. And that's and Ravi was just talking about that. And,
yeah,
and
I heard. I love
we had a caller earlier.
And a caller, I think it was Harding. Harding's always very eloquent. I mean, Harding calls about all kinds of stuff, but he's never afraid to talk about social issues. And he calls all the shows on this radio station, and he has for years, right, Sylvia? I mean, I feel like we've been taking calls from Harding forever. And he brought that up, and Ravi was talking about that, and that's going to be the other side of this story, and that pisses you off even more. Almost, I mean,
some of these businesses, I think, were on the cusp of reopening, right?
Yes,
and now, you know, they've got a lot of cleaning up and repair that needs to take place for that to happen. And you know, there are some people out there that have spent their entire lives building for the moment to have their own business, and they've had that business, and now. You know, they've had to deal with the coronavirus, and in some instances, if their businesses have been, you know, property damaged and things taken,
think if you're a newer business, small business, in what the last 6 months have been like.
Oh, it's
It's pretty awful.
There was a business by us in Northwest Indiana. literally was open for 2 weekends, and then the corona got him. And, I mean, a big place, the old Menards, they went inside, a little bowling alley, axe throwing, all types of
really?
Stuff.
Really? So yeah. like a gathering place
a
like that?
A real nice place, yeah. Shut down.
That sucks.
81 days.
I mean, jeez.
The family's got money.
Yeah.
How much money do you have?
I know, right. That sucks. I mean, it really does. It's just terrible. So, I don't know. It's going to be one of those weird days, guys, you know.
I don't think we'll ever see another year like this.
I mean, I hope not so.
There are a lot of times where we get caught in the moment and we say, boy, this year has sucked, or this, where we're really going through on quote unprecedented times. I think what this year has dealt us in 5 months, five full months.
Yep.
I'm hopeful that a year like this will never be repeated.
Your personal issue that you have to deal with health is just obviously another challenge.
Yeah, it's been a big crap sandwich, Waddle. I got to tell you, I'm sitting watching this with my wife, and I was more down on Saturday and Sunday, just watching what's going on across our country. Then, like, I feel like I've got a pretty good control of what's going on with me. I mean, my fingers are crossed, and I say my prayers, and I trust my doctors. But I feel, like, luckily, I feel good. You feel helpless. And that's why, like, this is so much, like, I'm an imperfect husband. I'm an imperfect father. How the hell am I going to have any answer in dealing with what we're dealing with as a country right now? I want to listen. I want to do my part. I want to start where I can, but we're all flawed, and we're all just trying to find our way right now. But I was very depressed about what was going on.
Hard not to be. Yeah, it was pretty rough. There's no question. Last night we were sort of felt with the same sort of sentiment about just how bad this is, and it was happening for another night. And when you see videos from around the country, then too makes it even worse. So it's happening in far too many places. It's pretty awful. I'm assuming this will dominate most of the show, right, guys?
Yeah. I mean, look, there are the sports will be there. I like what you said, Carm, about, you know, the stick to sports. We're going to stick. How about we're going to stick to human beings today?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're all pretty. We all know that it's a human issue here. Yeah. So.
You know, we spend 20 hours a week talking, you know.
Yep.
I think today is one of those days where you spend the majority of your time listening.
Listening, that's a good point. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's going to be a lot of this. So,
and the floor, your voice is powerful, and we're giving you a forum for your voice to be heard. And the phone number to reach us is 312-332-3776. We have opinions on the matter, but Waddle's right. I mean, this is a day too where we need our residents of Chicago to be heard, and people whose shoes we can never walk in. We need to listen to them speak today. And we're going to try and do that, too. We just had Jason Hayward on. But, like, I look to Jason Hayward as a guy who grew up in the Georgia area. I remember after the Cubs got him, he was beloved in St. Louis, and yet all these Twitter handle people were going after Jason Hayward with racial tweets because he chose the Cubs over the Cardinals.
When they don't pick your team, all of a sudden it goes there. You know, you got to get racist. Like, it's what is that?
Right. And like, yeah, I could never imagine what it would be like. And I want to, like, I trust Jason Hayward because he's a leader. He loves our city. He has seen things that none of us have seen. So, like, that's a guy I want to listen to. How can we get better? What has he dealt with that we could help with? And he's going to join us at 3. Jonathan Hood is going to lead the show off. We've been teammates with Jonathan for I don't even know.
05.
It's probably been, 20 years now. I mean, has it been
15?
Okay, 15 years, after he left. And we've been teammates with him, and a guy who grew up in this city and still lives here. And we'll give him the floor at 2:20. And Michael Wilbon, obviously, who has seen it all, is going to join us at 5:00. So we have a lot going on, and we're gonna try and listen and do our part in 312-332-3776.
On another note, I was glad to hear the two of you coming from the same building today. I know how much you guys appreciate each other, and to be able to be in the same room is cool.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Nice to have Yurko back.
I'm still waiting for my embrace, though. It's not happening.
Well, we're not embracing it just yet.
Goes to show you how important teammates are. And when you have a good team and you have good teammates, you know, it's fun to have, that impact in your building.
His breath did smell of bourbon today.
No, it did not. Oh, I didn't have any bourbon yesterday.
I had some Saturday.
Guy's getting hammered up in the morning now on the way to work. Boy, talk about stress in his day.
No, I did not. Stop it. I didn't even have any yesterday. I did have some on Saturday, though. I won't lie. That I did.
Yeah.
All right. We will see everybody tomorrow. It's nice to have Johnny Hanson back here in the studio. Waddle, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Can't wait for that.
Will.
You guys have a good show. Waddle and Sylvie are next talking about all the serious things, unfortunately, going on in our lives and our city right now. They'll get you through the rest of the afternoon, and we will see you tomorrow.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, it's Waddle and Sylvie, not your typical Monday, not your typical show, but it's something that we need to talk about. Waddle and I have always been open about this. We've always encouraged you to use your voice to be heard, 312-332-3776, to educate those who have never walked in your shoes before, shed light on something that a lot of us don't have experience in. And
I can guarantee you one thing. I don't have all the answers, and I don't have the experience of others. So in with that as the backdrop, I think there are moments in life where listening is more important than speaking.
Listening, yes. And look, Michael Jordan tweeted today, you know, or yesterday, I think he released a statement. He didn't actually tweet it. They sent it out. But even him in his first paragraph is he doesn't have the answers. So, I mean, a lot of people who you know, are smart people who have seen it all or successful don't have all the answers. But if we don't have the conversation, how are we ever going to get to those answers?
Yeah, I don't have the answers, but I do have the motivation to do what's necessary on my behalf to be better.
Yes. And it all starts with what the brutal killing of George Floyd and what happened in Minneapolis. It all starts there. That's where it starts. And yes, we could talk about the looting and we could talk about the damage in our city, but the racist killing that we saw from George Floyd is where this whole thing in this part of history has started. 312-332-3776. Jonathan Hood has been a valued teammate of ours for, I think, now 15 years. Carmen and I were trying to count the years. They go by quickly. We've all grown up together on this radio station. Jonathan Hood is a Chicagoan. He is going to be live and local at 7 o'clock on his own show tonight with lots of great information. But Jonathan, I think the most important thing for Waddle and I to do right now is ask you, how are you and what can we do?
Well, I'm fine because I watched the coverage like everybody else, and what we saw was real pain. I will start by saying that the both of you, when you say that you don't have all the answers, that is incorrect. That is wrong. And the reason why that is wrong is when you denounce what we just saw with George Floyd, with his death, and say that that's wrong, then you've already started the process. You say you don't have all the answers, but the answer is that George Floyd was killed unnecessarily by police, which is an ongoing story in this country. And so that there, Tom, is the answer. You don't have all the answers. That's the first answer. And I think that's you passed the test. That's wrong. And so that you're talking about trying to figure out like where all the answers is to the questions. The question is, why does it happen? And that was wrong.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. How do we get from A to B, which is progress? You're never going to solve all of the problems instantaneously. But Jonathan, I think as someone who's grown up in this community, what do you want to see our community do to try to head back in the right direction? Or for maybe the first time, if your perception is we've never been headed in the right direction, what do we need to do?
Well, because of the names of so many that have died in the hands of police, those that are supposed to serve and protect, I don't know a time where we were able to heal, because this happens in our society so often. The real pain in these communities that we have seen, it starts with police saying that this is wrong. You don't have enough of the good police officers that say that what has happened to George Floyd, or what happened to Breonna Taylor, or what happened to Eric Garner, whatever happened to Mike Brown, and so many others that have died in the hands of police, that have been shot by police, unarmed African-American men and women. When police start denouncing that there are some that have abused their power and their privilege to serve and protect, then we can be able to start. So the whole thing with the silence of saying, oh, there's another unarmed black guy that got killed. Okay, well, let's go to the next Insta story. Let's go to the next story that's in the news cycle. Now, you see, when you're silent and when you don't say anything about it, or you ignore it or turn a blind eye to it, you're just as guilty as those that were a part of the act. The idea that someone would look at this and just say, wow, another black guy just got killed by police. It's just part of the story. Just part of the 9-to-5. That is something. There's something wrong when we have this mentality. I'm just so disappointed and angry and sad about what we have seen here, because as someone that is a black man in this country that has grown up in Chicago on the South Side, there are so many that will look at my situation and say, oh, you're on the radio, so it's got to be different for you. Oh, you've been able to have a successful career, it's different for you. No, it's not different for me. The difference between someone who's white and someone who's me is that if you are pulled over by police, you're fearful of a ticket. Mm-hmm. You're fearful of, whatever I did, I might be taken to the station. If I get pulled over, I might die. And that's real. Not hyperbole. The reason why I know is because look what's happened to George Floyd, a guy that died unnecessarily. A guy that had a knee in the back of his neck for 8 minutes for no reason. And by the way, if you take a look at some of the other videos that's been out there over the last 48 hours, police have done the same to other citizens, protesters and looters. They put their knee in the back of their necks too. And then some of the protesters are like, well, are you going to do this again? This is how this all started. And this is still happening right now. So until police starts to say on the record, hey, you know what? What we're seeing here is wrong. Then we don't have a starting point.
Hoodie, I was just thinking, my next question was going to go exactly what you were just talking about. When I am driving 80 on the Kennedy, and then all of a sudden one of those state troopers zooms like a race car right on my tail, my heart drops, mm-hmm. and it sinks, and you get nervous. And I'm nervous over $180 ticket. That's it. Or what my insurance is going to do. What is that like to be black and all of a sudden to have a police officer on your tail?
You learn at an early age. And I know that these stories have been going on over the last 72 plus hours of black guys being on the air talking about this, but this thing is true. Growing up with my grandparents, they would always tell me, like, okay, if you do have an incident with the police, if you're going to talk to the police, make sure it's yes, sir, or no, sir. Make sure it's yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. If you're driving, make sure that your hands are where the police can see it. Before they say it, by the way, you got to have your hands at 10 and 2. Make sure that your wallet is right there at the dash, because you just never know. And that is something that is so scary for someone of color, where you don't know whether or not you're going to return back to your home or not, going to go back to your family or not. That's a real thing. And it's so unfortunate that is a real thing, but it is. And so, you know, this is why you try to toe the line and do exactly what you're supposed to do, because, you know, unfortunately, it's a coin flip on whether or not you'll return. It is 50-50. Because you really don't know what's going to be the end result of it. Hopefully, when you are, you do get a ticket or you do get some kind of citation, you will be able to be let go. But it's 50-50.
How does that change, Jonathan? So how can we, everyone has been saying it's a system, it's the entire system that needs to change. Where do we start? How do we get the change?
Well, as I mentioned, it starts with those that are in authority. Look at what does it say on the side of the police cars? It says that you're there to serve and protect. Those police officers are there with an oath, right? The oath that they're supposed to have that says, you know, we're here to serve and protect everybody. Okay, so the issue, Sylvie, is that those police officers as a whole, as a country, have to be able to say that this is wrong. And you can't be this hesitant to, well, if there's no video evidence, then it didn't happen. You know what I mean? How often you get these stories of black people that have been killed by police, but it's not talked about until you see the video. The video evidence says everything. If George Floyd and this video did not occur, we wouldn't have gone through this weekend. We know the story, we read about it, but it doesn't hit home until you see the video. And so that's, to me, until the police are able to say something about it, this is where it all starts.
Yeah, I mean, serious police reform has got to be at the top of the list. And you look at the system, where the system allows the officer that killed George Floyd, I believe, had been cited between 15 and 18 times prior, had he not? I mean,
yep.
So how is he on the beat? How does the system allow somebody that's got that many complaints against him, how is that person still allowed to serve, quote, serve and protect?
There is the question right there of how are you tolerant as a police department to allow someone like that on your team, on your force? Why are you tolerant of that? And so, Tom, we got to be also get this out of our system as well. We've got to get this vocabulary out of our system of, well, you know, these stories are just a few bad apples. You know, I've never seen a bad apple kill an African-American just because. There's never been a bad apple that was a police officer that killed a black person just because. There's no bad apples. They're bad people. And when you are police, you can't bat 225 at the job. Okay, you can't do that. You have to be as excellent as possible at the job. Yes, we're all human, but when you put on that uniform, it's a different dynamic. There is no, well, you know, I killed this guy, but you know what? I was good for these 6 months. Yeah, but I injured this person, but I was good for another 3 or 4 months. You don't get to be someone that's in that uniform and kill people just because you can. You're there to serve and protect, and this is the biggest issue. And again, for some, It's a big issue now because you see the looting. You see that there's been protests in all 50 states in this country. All 50 states have had some kind of protest about what happened. This hits differently. And this is what makes me somewhat optimistic, because when you start to see people that you don't normally see at these protests, Salt Lake City is having that. It's big protest. And they jumped on this guy that had a bow and arrow that was trying to shoot someone that says, all lives matter, all lives matter. And they went after him because the guy had a bow and arrow. Listen, when we hear the Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter movement, here, let me make sure it's very clear. All lives matter. It should be the case. All lives should matter. But Waddle and Sylvia, I'll tell you, if black lives did matter, then why did George Floyd have to die? Why did these other people like Breonna Taylor and Eric Garner and John Crawford III and Michael Brown, I can give you the list from now until 6 o'clock, because it's all of these stories and all these names that you hear are from those that died at the hands of police for no reason, for no reason. And that's the issue.
Jonathan,
wait, Waddle, 1 second. I don't want to rush you off, Jonathan. Can you hold on and can we do another segment with you? Because sure. There's other stuff that we want to get after. Jonathan Hood is with us. If you want to react, 312-332-3776. The floor is yours today. Waddle and I are listening. You have a powerful voice. You can use it on ESPN 1000.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
The conversation continues with our teammate Jonathan Hood, talking about going back to George Floyd, and obviously well before that. This problem didn't just all of a sudden pop up with George Floyd. I mean, Hoodie's been documenting. This has been long time. And Waddle and I want to listen today. Jason Hayward is going to join us at 3. Wilbon at 5 o'clock. Waddle, you wanted to ask Hoodie a follow-up question.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Jonathan his perception of, you know, this peaceful protest for such a worthy cause is easily defined, and it's easily differentiated from some of the other things that are going on with the intentional destruction of property and the assaulting of people. When you see that, Jonathan, and some of it in your community, what feelings do you come from you when you see that?
Well, it's disappointment, Tom. It's disappointment because there are so many small businesses that were destroyed around me in South Shore and up and down the southeast side, out west, Lincoln Park. There's a lot of places in our city that was destroyed because of selfish people. Let's shine a light on selfish people today, because it's one thing that we are mourning George Floyd and his death. It's one thing for us to know that police brutality is a thing, not just that, not just from last week, but it's been a thing for generations and generations. But we also, Tom, have to look at something like the looting versus the protesters and know that there is a difference between right. the two. When I saw protesters out there protesting peacefully, I saw LeBron James saying, you know, where is those peaceful protests in the media? Well, we saw it. We saw it on social media. We saw it on the television. So there was peaceful protesters, but also on social media, you could see people coming in from wherever the hell they came from to be able to smash up an AutoZone, to smash up banks. And those same people, toe-headed people, people that probably not even from that community, wanted to spray paint BLM on there to let people know that, hey, this is because of Floyd's death. When you loot and when you smash up windows, you're not doing that because of George Floyd. You're doing it because of selfishness, because you believe that you're greater than the moment. When I'm seeing people go into stores and taking whole mattresses and putting it on the top of their car and driving away, that's not because of George Floyd. Because those are not protesters. Those are those that want to take advantage. And I will say this, and I really believe this, now that we're in June, we can look back, guys, at what we have seen so far. The combination of COVID-19, the combination of mask versus no mask, the combination of record unemployment in this country, over 100,000 people died because of COVID-19. All these things happen left and right. People trying to figure out what they want to do from check to check. Can they pay their bills? Can they pay their mortgage? What job do they go back to now because of the looters? All these things became a microcosm of what has gone on in this country. And I just think that for so many people, it just blew up. Yeah. All those things that happened, guys, all those occurrences happening. And by the way, we just got to June. I think it just made people go out of control. And also those that just want to be rebel rousers, because they say, OK, we're going to make sure that we target this community, or we're going to make sure that we ruin downtown just because we can, because of selfishness. This is where we are. It's about me. It's about what my organization, my group can do to be able to destroy entire communities, to destroy downtown just because I can.
What do you say to our listener, Kevin, who listens to the station all the time? And he says, I love you guys and ESPN 1000, but kind of feel like we're taking swipes at cops now and painting with a broad brush. I'm not going to paint all cops with a broad brush. There's systemic issues that need to be addressed, but let's not paint the majority of cops as bad, racist individuals.
Okay, well, I think that goes without saying. What I would say is that cops have to be able to denounce bad cops and say that, hey, you know what? This is not who we are. This is not what our department is. This is not who we are, so it's wrong. When we say cops, I think if you're smart enough to realize that we're not talking about all cops, we're talking about those that ended lives because they could. That's obviously what we're talking about. See, well, here it is. Derek Chauvin makes cops look bad. those other three cops that were implicit in that story in Minneapolis, they make all cops look bad. It's obvious. I have police officers and those that I've been in police for a long time in my family. But guys, what I'm saying is that when we see stories like this, it makes good cops look bad.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I would think that the obvious good police officers would be as they would despise the bad cops as much as all of us would, because it's making their job even harder. Would you think that would be a fair statement?
Sure, sure. I think that's any walk of life. And again, I won't go with, I don't believe in the bad apple type of scenario that we have heard, Tom, of like, it's just only a few bad cops. No, it's a systemic issue that has happened in a lot of police departments, in which police want to be able to take advantage of citizens. And it's not right. That doesn't mean it's all police. Clearly, it's not all police. Clearly, that's not the case. But even this weekend, you could see there are some police officers that just had it with these protesters, gets into their police car and tries to run over and try to push back protesters in New York with their car. You saw police officers take the guns out to try to protect themselves and trying to push back protesters. Some of the stuff is learned behavior that they were able to attain over the years. But understand that all cops are not bad. I think we all know that. I think that's common sense. But the bad cops are making good cops look bad. Now, that's the problem.
Hoodie, what's on the show tonight at 7 o'clock?
Tonight, Sylvie, we are live and local. Can I use that? I know that's yours.
It's everybody's, I think.
Okay. No, I mean, I know it comes from you. It's live and local. So we will be live and local. We will have guests from New York, Columbus, Ohio, D.C., as well as Los Angeles and Minneapolis, St. Paul, to give their thoughts on what happened. We will talk about what's happened in our city, but I just want to get a view of how the protests and how George Floyd's death has resonated in some of those cities. So it's great for us, all of us, to have friends in the business across the country. So I use those numbers, and we're going to find out what's happening across the country tonight at 7.
Yeah, well, we thank you, Jonathan, for you being willing to talk about this with us today.
Thank you, and all the best to your listeners and our listeners at the station throughout this very, very difficult time that we're going through right now.
Hoodie, thank you. All the best.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
There he is, Jonathan Hood, live and local tonight, 7 live o'clock. All your calls coming up here, 312-332-3776, and Jason Hayward on this important issue at 3 o'clock.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Great stuff from Jonathan Hood, and we're having an important conversation, and like, not everything we say is going to be perfect. We're going to try and listen, but the importance is having the conversation. We've always stressed that throughout the years on these important issues.
Yeah, I think there was a couple of things that Jonathan said that really, there were three things probably that really resonated with me. One was, listen, and you know this, Sylvie, because you're now a parent, and Jeff does, and Adam will eventually, but everyone out there knows, I mean, your greatest fear in life is the consistent kind of security and pursuit of happiness for your children. You put your children ahead of yourself, right? Like, I'm very fortunate. I have four daughters, 27, 24, 22, and 16. And I know there are inherent risks when they go out to do whatever it is they do. They get in the car. They go somewhere. One of the things I don't worry about is that they will find themselves in a precarious situation with a police officer for any number of transgressions. I saw, you know, Marcus Spears talking today on Get Up, and it was something that probably moved me as much as anything. And he talked about his 12-year-old son and having to have the discussion with him. Like, Marcus and I share the fears, the natural fears, like any parents, like you and everyone else, the constant worry and concern about your kids. But like, his concern and worry is significantly more than mine for the reasons that I just mentioned. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Totally. My buddy, when he brought that up, my buddy Gary, who's retired lieutenant general in the Army, he says, two tours in Iraq. I should not be in fear of my life for the country I proudly served. for 26 years.
Right. Exactly. Now, I think the other good point that Hoodie made was, listen, it goes without saying that there are good police officers out there. We work with some of them down at ABC 7 building. I mean, there are some good people. You know some. I know some.
Great.
There are plenty of great police officers out there. And as I said, you know, good. I'm assuming that the good police officers that way outnumber the bad police officers are probably as disgusted and even more disgusted with the bad police officers than the average American, because it makes their job so much harder. Do you know what I'm saying?
Of course I do.
And then the last thing that Hoodie kind of hit on that it really resonated with me was the fact that you can differentiate between those who are participating in meaningful, peaceful protest for a tremendously important cause and those that are destroying property and assaulting other human beings.
Of course.
Like, you can't talk about those two factions in the same.
They're not the same.
You can't couple them.
No, they're not the same.
So I think that Hoodie.
Protesters have the right, and they are trying to get change.
So I thought it was really important.
It's a completely different crowd of, you know, the rioters.
Yeah, I think that all of those points from Hoodie, I think, are all things that should resonate with all of us.
Can we, Mellor, go to Naperville? Ozell in Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000. Hi, Ozell.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
Good.
Yeah, thanks for having my call. I'd like to, I appreciate the conversation. And I come from a poor neighborhood in Chicago, Cabrini Green. I grew up in Cabrini Green, dealt with the, you know, used to be a gang banger and everything. And I've changed my life. I've changed the way I look at things and everything. And I do have a passion for what we're talking about. And I think one of the main things I think that we need to change is just the hiring process of police. I think, you know, police officers have a lot of power. They have a lot of authority, and they're giving it to people who really don't know what to do with that authority. They're misusing it. And I don't know if there's more good. I believe there are more good officers than bad, but I also believe there's a hush-hush system or just like the streets, a no-snitching type of thing going on with the police, where they don't hold each other accountable to the public. And, you know, I'll shut up and listen.
Well, thank you for the call, first of all. I mean, listen, Sylvia, you and I talked about this earlier. I mean, reform has to be part of it. Any system that allows somebody who has had, what was it, 15, 16, 17, you know, transgressions or complaints on his record, but is still allowed to be out there doing what he's doing, to me, it's... says that there is a flaw in the system.
Right, and he's right about the other, like the other three cops who sat there and watched for the 8 minutes, you know, instead of saying, let's put him in handcuffs and put him in the back of the car. You know, he was trying to forge a check. Okay?
Yeah, he was already in handcuffs, too.
Let's put him in the back of the car. Yeah, get your knee off his neck. Chuck in Phoenix, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's going on, Waddle and Sylvie? How you guys doing, man?
We're hanging right, in, Chuck. How are you?
I'm good, man. Hey, still be strong, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. Hey, I grew up in Chicago, man. I just moved out here to Phoenix like 2 years ago. I just wanted to give you guys a scenario. I think Waddle kind of touched on it just a little while ago. Like, say, for instance, if you guys, everybody's fathers, and you guys have kids who say they were getting bullied at school, and that kid that was bullying them, They were like the son of a principal or something of that school. And they showed them, they gave them no consequences for constantly bullying that kid. And I feel like that's what a lot of black people are going through and have gone through. And that's one of the reasons why, I mean, we do and try to do the peaceful protest, and it just doesn't, nothing changes. I think that's why a lot of people do the whole riot thing. I do know it's opportunists out there to try to, like, go out and try to steal stuff and everything like that. But I think they just run out of options. I think a lot of people are just running out of options and running out of answers, you know. So that's all I have to say.
I appreciate your phone call. Thank you. Let's go to Andy in Geneva. Andy, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going? Sylvie Strong.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, I'm a teacher at Oswego East High School, and I just got done, me and Tyson LeBlanc, who's the head football coach over there, we just got done helping out in downtown Aurora. So, you know, just putting up plywood on the first Midwest Bank over there. And my dad's a cop, and my uncle, or my dad's a retired cop, and my uncle's a retired cop. And, you know, being a teacher, you get just, you get pushed to the edge by kids. So I understand a little bit. I'm not trying to say that I am a police officer, but I understand a little bit how, you know, people can push your buttons. So these cops have to have a little bit of leeway to be human, because sometimes they're going to be pushed. Sometimes their buttons are going to be pushed, and, you know, they're going to do things that are not correct. So they're going to have violations. My question is, how many violations is too many violations then? I'm not sticking up for the other guy. Or for the police officer that did this. My question is, how many violations is too many violations of, okay, now you're a hothead, you know, this has gone on too long. Is it three? Is it two? Is it five? Like, how many is too many? You understand what I'm talking about?
Sure, Andy. Thanks for the phone call. And it's like what Hoodie said, Waddle, you can't bat 225. And you right. said something in the meeting that this is one of the most important jobs in America. It's one of the most dangerous jobs, and it's one of the most important jobs. You cannot have the errors that correct. You have in some of the other careers.
That's part of the job, and which makes it a very difficult job. I mean, you can be a machinist. You can be, you know, whatever it is. You can be a teacher. You can be a radio talk show host. Whatever the case is, you can make a mistake, okay, and maybe get by without negatively affecting a human being's life. But a police officer has to be able to navigate the difficult situations without making that mistake, because ultimately it could cost a life. That's part of the job. That's part of the, you know, why it is such a difficult job in some respects. But I, you know, listen, I'm not smart enough to know what the procedure should be. I'm not smart enough to know what the program they should follow should be. But there should be a discussion about, at what point do you become a predator, or what point you become a liability in your own job for whatever reason. And you can't let it get to the point where you're still allowed to be out there making crucial decisions when you do have a track record of not always making the right decisions.
That's right.
I guess is the best way to say it.
312-332-3776. That's the phone number. It's an important day, and all these days are very, very important. This isn't going away. This has been a problem for very many years. When we've been on the show, we have talked about these issues as they continue to come up. And, you know, we're doing something. Normally we like to keep it to sports, but this is a human issue. We need to discuss this. We need to be better. And we need to have change, and we want to hear from you. 312-332-3776. Someone we've built a great relationship with is Jason Hayward. There are not many athletes, Waddle, that I look up to personally, but I feel like Jason Hayward is one of them as far as the way he is a leader, the way he is as a person. And I think he's got important views to share, and I offered him the invitation yesterday. And we just had him on, and thankfully he's like, sure, I'll come on. I'm happy to do it. Yeah. So we'll hear from Jason Hayward coming up in just 2 minutes.